before this, he built like a, you built like how many startups already?
This is my fourth startup. So
you were a founder of four different companies then?
Well, two, I was a founding member. I don't want to say it myself, but technically there are some people who compare it to Dior's, and I honestly think our product is comparable. I think that's a huge advantage that we have, so we wanted to make sure that we can tap into it. And also, like, K-beauty is one of the most aspirational, you know, categories in beauty right now. Yeah. So we felt like this is like a perfect timing, a combination of K-content, K-pop, K-entertainment, along with K-beauty. I've worked in London, Boston, LA, San Francisco, Seoul. Like, I think the hardest working city, to be honest, in my opinion, is still New York. So even Somi's friend, like G-Dragon shared it on his Instagram as well. And I'm sure we are monitoring Somi's fans, and she does have a large fan base in Indonesia as well. So I know people really want the products there, so we'll be ready to take it there this summer.
Yeah, but so you know.
MSS Follow Me Korea Edition. Hari ini kita bakal seru-seruan, kita bakal coffee hopping. Tapi first stop kita akan nyobain the viral pastry. Yaitu soalnya kita lagi ada di Nudake. Kepo banget sama pastry croissant hitam itu dengan di tengahnya ada fla green tea. Jadi we're so excited to try. Jadi ikutin terus episode kali ini. Let's go! Buat teman-teman yang suka coffee hopping kayak aku tapi nggak mau ribet, kalian bisa pakai fitur tap to pay di aplikasi Livin by Mandiri. Jadi untuk transaksi kamu tinggal tap tanpa login dan bebas pilih sumber dananya, bisa kartu debit Visa, kartu kredit Visa, atau Mastercard. Make sure edisinya berlogo contactless ya teman-teman. Dan FYI, Livin by Mandiri ini digital banking pertama di Indonesia yang punya fitur tap to pay dari smartphone. Fitur tap to pay di aplikasi Livin by Mandiri bisa digunakan di smartphone Android ber-NFC, baik di dalam maupun di luar negeri. Jadi enak aja, kita nggak perlu ribet bawa dompet isinya banyak uang lagi. Transaksinya lebih nyaman dan lebih cepat pastinya dengan fitur tap to pay di aplikasi Livin by Mandiri. Super app, super lengkap. Oke, sekarang kita lagi ada di
Bangwon Market.
Dan ini adalah salah satu hal yang paling kita suka lakukan, itu adalah jajan. Tapi
ini kita dikasih challenge-nya sama si tim NSS.
Kita cuma boleh jajan 10.000. Itu adalah 100.000 rupiah ya, di
lebih lah ya.
Iya. Ada beberapa yang udah mencuri mata gue. Yang pertama adalah gue mau odeng, mau ayam, mau tangwulu, mau topoki. Muat gak tuh kira-kira?
Coba kita lihat ya.
Oh, itu garlic soy chicken, definitely good.
Okay, let's go. Let's do that.
Nah, jadi itu ada 6.000.
Tapi kalau 6.000 tinggal 4.000 dong. Gak bisa beli apa-apa lagi kita.
Ya, oke.
Okay. Gak jadi, guys. Ini mau gak? Mau topoki gak?
Tapi gue sih gak mau, tapi misalkan kalau lu suka.
To go. Thank you. Oke, okay, guys, kita dapet makanan pertama kita. Ya, Kadit gak bisa makan karena pedas.
Topoki.
Oh ya, thank you.
Ternyata harga 5.000, bos. Kembalikan. It's actually spicy and hot.
Jadi Adit tuh gak bisa makan pedes. Nggak, lu dikit aja.
Harga berat dikit. Oh iya, oke.
Nih, lo mau yang apa? Yang anggur ya? Mixed fruit apa anggur? Cepet.
Anggur, 3-1. anggur.
Hi, can we get this one? Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, let's try. Cobain dulu. Ini ada bunyinya nih.
Coba.
Menurut gua anggur udah manis. Tambah gula.
Oh, okay. Tadi adalah makanan gue, terus sisa 1.000. Jadi lo mau beli apa 1.000?
Jadi sisa 1.000 doang ya?
Kayaknya kita cuma bisa odeng.
Ya gue gak suka odeng lagi.
Iya gak? Lo harus cobain, lo open mind, karena lo belum coba. Okay. Guys, kita menemukan makanan yang 1.000. Odeng. Hi, can we get one? Oh, just take it?
Just take it. Oh, jadi ini gratisan atau gimana nih?
Iya. Kayak berarti kita gak harus bayar ya ini?
Iya, iya. Lo mau yang ini apa yang ini?
Yang ini deh kayaknya, lebih matang.
Lebih matang ya ini ya?
Thank you. Dia kasihan karena dia
10.000, gue gak dapet sama sekali.
Oke, Dit, kita sekarang mau jajan lagi karena kita udah selesai challenge-nya. Jadi kita bisa
dapat apa-apa sama sekali.
Makanya, jadi kita bisa jajan-jajan pakai kartu Mandiri debit contactless. Oke, Dit, kira-kira lo udah tahu belum mau jajan apa nih?
Kan
ada yang menarik enggak?
Sebenarnya gue tuh pengen lagi pengen gue pizza for some reason tuh gue pengen pizza.
Nih, ini ada pizza school nih. Kenapa ada pizza school?
Karena mungkin variasinya banyak banget kali ya. Jadi mereka mungkin kayak how to make a pizza gitu.
Oh, jadi it's a school of pizza.
School of pizza.
cuma guys, ini emang pizzanya banyak banget sih variasinya. Oke, okay, can we get one sweet potato pizza and you want bulgogi?
Bulgogi ya.
One bulgogi pizza. Oke, okay, karena tadi Adit belum dapat apa-apa ya. Jadi kita lanjutin jajannya pakai kartu Mandiri debit contactless. Dan aku mau cerita nih, Dit.
Oke. Okay.
Kenapa gue suka banget sama kartu Mandiri debit contactless ini? Karena pertama, effortless, mudah, cepat banget dan praktis hanya dengan mendekatkan atau tap kartu debit pada mesin EDC aja secara contactless tanpa harus pakai PIN. Jadi sangat effortless dan cepat. Jadi Dit,
yep.
Salah satu poin plusnya lagi, kartu ini bisa pakai sumber dana multi-currency. Jadi tinggal hubungkan rekening falasmu ke Mandiri Debit melalui Livin by Mandiri pastinya. Kamu bisa transaksi dengan currency setempat.
Wow.
Jadi nggak perlu ribet lagi, Dit. Fitur ini juga available up to belasan currencies, Dit.
Yep.
Including SGD, USD, Euro, Yen, Australian Dollar, Thailand Baht, dan juga Hong Kong Dollar.
Wah.
Jadi kamu bisa belanja di Eropa, di Jepang, di Thailand, Hong Kong, Australia, Singapura dengan mata uang setempat pakai Mandiri Debit. effortless banget kan, yep. Jadi cepet banget, jadi nggak ribet banget, apalagi kalau kita mau jajan banyak di tempat-tempat yang sangat crowded.
Betul.
Jadi cepat, efisien.
Apalagi ke tempat kayak gini, kayak Mangkon Mas, bener-bener pack banget ya.
Bener, oke. Okay. Ya. Kita sekarang mau mencoba pizza, tapi ini pizzanya pizza Korea, edit ya. Jadi kita pesen sweet potato pizza dan juga bulgogi pizza. Let's try. Silakan, ini ada Risma dan ada Larry yang habis belanja strawberry.
Enak banget strawberry.
Oh iya, katanya strawberry-nya di sini manis. Oke, 3, 2, 1.
Oke, sini dah.
Buat apa sih? Selamat makan. Selamat makan. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Enak.
Enak guys. Oke, sekarang aku mau ngopi lagi bersama teman aku Jordan. He's the CEO of Bubble and I'm so excited untuk ngobrol-ngobrol sama beliau. Dan aku sebelum itu mau touch up dulu, mau pakai Wardah Glassing Liquid Lip. This is my favorite liquid lip. Warnanya pigmented banget, nyaman, enggak lengket, ringan, dan yang paling penting adalah transfer proof. Apalagi ini sudah menggunakan teknologi terbaru glass cushion dan ceramide. Jadi bikin bibir lembab dan pastinya plumpy. Dan anyway, aku suka banget sama si Glassing Liquid Lip ini karena shade-nya, warnanya, pilihannya banyak banget. Jadi, aku selalu bawa di tas aku Wardah Micellar Water sama kapas untuk aku hapus lipstiknya dan aku bisa ganti-ganti warna sesuai occasion dan mood. Halo, selamat datang di Ngobrol Sore Semaunya bersama aku, eksklusif di Korea. Hari ini aku akan ngobrol sama teman aku lagi. Dan aku penasaran banget juga untuk teman-teman mendengarkan ceritanya. So, please welcome my friend Jordan.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So, Jordan is the CEO and co-founder of Bubble.
Yes.
And I'm so excited for you.
Thank
because
you.
Because it's been amazing. So tell us a bit about Bubble.
Yes. By the way, I think this is like the perfect time for us to meet and have this interview because before I introduce the company, I wanted to announce that we just launched our first K-pop celebrity co-founded brand in Korea 2 days ago.
Yay!
On Tuesday, or 3 days ago. And we are doing well. We're about to sell out our first batch. Our thesis is that we work with creators. So creators could be celebrities, yeah, influencers, models, and we help them engage their audience members to really find out what products we should offer to them. And we help them build and launch hyper-targeted beauty brands. So the way we operate is a bit different from how traditional beauty brands or incubators operate.
Yeah.
We don't just internally plan out 10 to 20 SKUs at a time and launch it. What we do is we try to launch 1 to 2 products at a time, very intentional. We're genuine about it. We're very authentic about, you know, the entire product development process.
Yeah.
And then we really take in the fans and the communities and the consumers' feedback.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. We've been operational for about 4.5 years now.
Yeah.
We ran a lot of beta tests in the States. So yeah, in the States side, we work with some of the top beauty influencers to top models like Elsa Hosk, who's a Victoria's Secret angel as well. And as we mentioned, we just launched Somi 3 days ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I think
it's been a very busy week for you.
Yes, that's why I look like this. Typically I'm better, you know, put together. I think they saw me before, so this is probably me at one of my worst states. But it created a lot of issue because I think for Korea too, this drop model or just launching with one product at a time is very unfamiliar to consumers.
So, it's very different, right?
Yeah. So we've been receiving a lot of mixed reviews, but the products are finally going out. Some of the top beauty influencers are reviewing it. In fact, last night, number one beauty influencer reviewed the product, and now everyone's saying, oh, this is so worth it. It's worth the wait. It's worth the price.
Wait, so it's a highlighter, is it?
It is a highlighter, four color highlighter. I know compared to like other road shop beauty products in Korea, it is pricier, but if you actually do the calculation per grams, it is a much better deal. I don't want to say it myself, but technically there are some people who compare it to Dior's and...
That's a very strong statement.
Yes, I honestly think our product is comparable. It's a different color, but it's the same type of baked highlighter, and I think ours is...
So is it one color or is it multiple
colors? Four colors.
Is it in one set or is it like a...
It is in one set.
Oh.
But we do have different SKUs coming out that will allow consumers to actually experiment with not all the colors, but maybe some of the colors. And we are really excited to actually bringing this product to Indonesia as well. It is one of our top markets.
I'm very excited. Yeah. So I think when I heard about Bubble, I got very excited because it's a very unique business model where you collaborate with artists and influencers and you co-create brands and stuff like that. And you focus on beauty brands. So why do you focus only on the beauty products?
Yes. So I think we focus on beauty because that is a competitive advantage that we have. Mm-hmm. I'm Korean American. A lot of our team, they're actually based in Korea as well. Same thing with my investors.
Yeah.
Split across US, but also Korea. And Korea is actually known to be number one market for beauty manufacturing.
True.
I mean, smart consumers already know this, but I would say anyone, you walk into your bathroom and you look at your products.
Yeah.
Up to 50% of the products, or even more, are probably manufactured by Korean firms in Korea or their regional manufacturing facility. So I think that's a huge advantage that we have. So we wanted to make sure that we can tap into it. And also, like, K-beauty is one of the most aspirational categories in beauty right now.
Yeah.
So we felt like this is like perfect timing, a combination of K-content, K-pop, K-entertainment, along with K-beauty.
So before we talk more about the beauty industry, I'm actually interested in your background.
Okay.
Because before this, you built how many startups already?
So this is my fourth startup. So
you were a founder of four different companies then?
I was a founding member. So I want to make sure that I give proper credit to the right founders. So the first two were, one was journalism.
Okay.
So which I know you're probably going to be very interested in. You know, media overall it's a very difficult business.
Yeah.
So we wanted to ensure that quality investigative journalism could survive. So we built a crowdfunded journalism platform in the UK.
Yeah.
So there were two co-founders and I was their first business hire. So I was a founding team member of a startup called Byline, which started in the UK. We became quote unquote number one in the world, but that doesn't mean much. I know. We thought we were really, you know, making an impact in journalism, but that doesn't mean much when people don't want to pay for news.
Yes.
So we couldn't scale the company, so we decided
to
pivot.
That's not sustainable.
Right. Although the good news is, Byline.com still operates by an independent UK journalist.
Okay.
And then we pivoted into a web fiction platform. Borrow the business model from a lot of Korean and Chinese web fiction platforms. And I was a founding team member for that one as well. Launched, I believe, in 2016. We launched in 2016 or 15. Gosh, I'm getting my years mixed up too, but it did well. So, if anything, I think in about a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, they sold to Kakao Entertainment for 440 mil. I left earlier to do my own startup, but I ended up doing venture capital investing a bit. So I joined a company called NXC. He's a founder. Founder of NXT is a founder of the largest gaming company in Korea called Nexon.
Yeah.
And I worked with them a bit, and then I launched a startup with them as well. And overall, that corporate venture also got sold to Lego. So Bubble is my fourth startup. But we all the founding team members of Bubble right now.
Yeah. And you're still very young.
Yes.
You're like 30.
God, I'm 32.
Crazy.
I'm 32. So I've been doing startup actually almost right out of college.
Right?
Yeah, right out of college. I just started up from BC.
Easy.
So it's been 10 years. 10 years
now. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All the success.
Well, I'm not there yet compared to obviously Putri or anyone else who's been on this podcast, I'm not even there yet, but we're getting there.
Jordan, but when we're talking about the startup industry, like, what's the startup industry like now? Because you
in
know,
in Korea or US?
In is it different now?
It is very different.
Okay, talk to me about
because
I know for a startup, right, it used to be like everyone want to be a startup founder. And it's a very like evaluation game. It's all about growth, right?
Yeah.
Now it's about profit. Now it's about sustainability.
Yeah.
So what is it like now in Korea and in US?
Okay, so I think you're on, I think I understand the intent of your question. So macro trend overall is exactly how you put it out. I think at the height of the bubble, which was during COVID, it really was all about, it was a valuation game. Raise as much as you can.
Yeah.
Grow as quickly as you can at the expense of your profit.
Yeah.
So, but we had a market adjustment, a big adjustment. You know, a lot of companies had a huge valuation slash. Some even had to go through, you know, hard layoffs. So overall, whether it's Korea or the US, it's all about now, like, can you have a sustainable growth?
Correct.
Can you have a sustainable business model and is it profitable?
Yes.
And to be honest, it works in our favor because when I, when our team founded Bubble, we tried our best not to play the game that everyone else was playing.
Yeah.
Like, even though we were being pressured from the market to also play the game, we knew that in order to build a sustainable business, you need to have, you need to think about profitability.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, when we first launched, some of our competitors were already growing much quicker than we have. They raised bigger rounds. They were playing the press game. And now at this stage, most of our competitors have actually closed or gone out of business or pivoted into something else. Now, the difference between US and Korea is that, and this is something that I'm even learning right now, Korea is a much harder place to actually launch a startup. I think it's just a lack of capital. Lack of capital, and people are just culturally more open-minded in the US. So, and like in the US, people embrace risk. And they learn from their failures and mistakes. There's a safe net around that. Especially in the Valley or New York, in the startup hubs. Korea, it's a little bit different. Korea, they're less forgiving.
I think it's because of like the environment, the culture as well, right? But I think in Korea, people are tougher.
They are.
They're like a hustler.
They are. So if anything, I think in the States, New York is quite similar to Seoul in Korea.
Okay.
My personal opinion, if Koreans maybe watch this, I might get criticized a bit. But I'll say a rather controversial statement. I do think I've worked in London, Boston, LA, San Francisco, Seoul, like
Singapore.
I visited. I think the hardest working city, to be honest, in my opinion, is still New York. The hustle there is, like, I love New York and I want to be in New York because I get motivated when I'm there. And if you think about even all the top startup founders, even in Asia, they always think about New York. They always think about at least SF. And I think there's a reason why these, obviously the market's bigger.
Of course.
But yeah, I think Korea, and the funny thing about Korea is that even though it doesn't have as robust of a tech ecosystem, people want to be in tech, but they don't want to be in startup. So it's hard to recruit them. So everyone.
Why is that?
I think overall, like, it's the same thing there. I think a lot of folks are risk averse.
Is it the risk?
Yeah. Even the typical Korean workers, they would rather join a big company
rather than a startup.
Yeah.
I see. I think in the US, like, joining a startup is some kind it's a very cool thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's a badge of honor.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think in Indonesia, it used to be like that. It used to be like, you know, working at a startup is like very cool.
Yeah.
So in Korea, it's not like that.
No, I mean, it is, but not as much as US. And I think a lot of it also has to be company policy. So in the US, firms like Facebook, firms like Amazon, firms like Google, they actually give their employees a chance to try out a startup for maybe 6 months. But if they decide to come back within that time, they can just, they hire them right away without any interview process.
Okay.
I think Korea kind of lacks that as well. So that's what I mean by like safety net. In the USA, they do encourage people to actually found their startups or join a startup, have that experience and come back.
Yeah.
Versus in Korea, it's much harder.
Okay.
Yeah.
So give us like three tips or three values that you really strongly believe in that you want to share to people that actually want to create a startup or want to join a startup. Or what's important in the startup industry?
Number one is, I think, perseverance.
Okay. That's very important.
Yes. I'm going to be honest. Like, startup, from outside looking in, people typically discover startups when they're doing well.
Yeah.
But they don't really see the entire journey. Yeah. Like, we've been doing Bubble for 4.5 years now. It's been a long and tough, tough journey. So that's one. You just have to be able to persevere all the ups and downs. Number two is, you need to be people-driven, especially in the early stage.
Oh, that's very important.
So I think your team members, your founding team, and the culture really defines the company and whether it does have the traction and the stickiness to actually persevere through the hard times.
Because that's the core of the company, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Team.
Exactly. And that's why even now, we every time we hire someone, the one thing that we talk about the most is how will that person fit into the rest of the company?
Yeah, the culture of the company as well, right?
Because you'd be surprised. I mean, I don't want to share too many details, but every single startup that I've been a part of, we've had problems because of people.
That's true.
And it really pushed the company to the brink of failure. Like, that's how, especially when you're a 10-person team, 20-person team, every person counts.
Okay.
So that's two. And then number three is, and I'm sure people get this a lot, you shouldn't be starting a startup for the sake of starting something. I think personally, I think the worst reason for you to found a startup is because you want to be a founder.
Yeah.
Either it has to be very conviction driven.
That's true.
Yeah. And a problem that you want to solve. Otherwise, people see that you're not being really authentic and it becomes hard to do business. Yeah.
And I think not everyone can be a founder, right?
I agree.
Right? Like, not everyone can be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So it's like a...
I agree. And I think it's a timing issue too. So
true.
For me, let's say...
Because it's tough.
Yeah. And like, I mean, knock on wood, hopefully Bubble does well.
Yeah.
But let's say...
Amen.
Yeah, exactly. And let's say I have an exit or... it doesn't do well and then Bubble closes, I don't think I'll be doing another startup for a very long time.
Okay.
So I think it's also timing. Yeah. Like it is very draining and I think you need to be in the right stage in your life to actually take the bet too.
Yeah. Jordan, I'm actually very curious because you're all over the place, right? You're like one day in Jakarta, then in New York, and then in
LA,
and then in Seoul. You're everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, what's your day like?
So
you wake up at?
I do wake up usually around like 7 or 8 a.m.
Okay.
And I check. The first thing I do is always check my email. So that takes about an hour. And there are times when I have to take on like urgent calls. So this week was all about crisis management.
Okay.
So my morning would start with questions that I sent to my law firm, what the response would be. And then I obviously update my teammates based on that. Yeah. And then depending on my typical calendar is just packed with meetings.
Okay.
So a lot of it starts with external meetings. So like investors, business partners, potential business partners. And then I typically check in with our teammates during
internal.
The day. Yes. And then after that, it's all meetings again. Including like dinner time. And then at night is when I start to do my own tasks. There are certain things that I need to also strategize, punch some numbers, do some reporting to investors, or share some updates with our business partners.
Yeah.
And then I go back into my email mode where now, okay, I need to communicate whatever I did for the day to my counterparts. And I typically go to sleep at 3:30 a.m.
3:30 a.m.?
Yeah, 3 to 3:30 a.m.
Wow.
So
how many cups of coffee a day?
So when I was younger, I know I'm only 32, but when I was younger, I would drink at least 7 cups a day, but I started
to,
and then I started to have stomach problems.
Yeah. GERD.
So now I'm actually, that's why I got milk tea because milk tea at least has some milk in it. It still has caffeine. So I kind of cut it down to like 3 to 4 cups.
So 3 cups of latte every day.
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad.
I start out with like just pure black coffee and then I start to add milk throughout the day.
Okay, I think your last question.
Okay.
Like, what's the short-term plan and your long-term plan for your career?
Short-term is well, we do want to make a lot of noise in beauty space. Like I said, I think before we started the interview, I already shared with you what the public perception still is in this drop model that we really want to push. But the short-term goal really is to change how people perceive this drop model.
Yeah.
And hopefully become one of the, I wouldn't say like top players, because it's a short-term goal, but one of the most visible and talked about players in beauty space. And I do want to really identify and empower white creators and celebrities to help them launch their own authentic beauty brands.
Yeah.
And long-term is actually like a little bit, I mean, much bigger than that. I actually want to change with my teammates the retail landscape in beauty space. And to be honest, and it could go beyond just beauty, I think it could be entertainment, like IP-based business as well.
I heard about this.
Yeah.
You told me this.
So I think if you really think about how media has transformed over time, it will always go through a cycle, but at the end of the day, if you really have the right anchor IP, there's limitless business opportunities.
True.
So I do want to shift the power back to the IP owners.
Yeah.
Because right now it is pretty much dominated by the retailers. You're at the mercy of retailers. You give them 50% margin, and then they don't really care about your brand equity. So if they have too much inventory, they will go on sale. So we really want to make sure that we have the right platform to really empower everyone, especially IP owners, to run their own businesses without, you know, being at the mercy of retailers. So that's kind of like the long-term goal.
Sounds fun. Sounds tough, though.
I think I have 15 more years to go.
You have 15 more years to go. Jiren, thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you.
And I'm so excited for you to come to Indonesia. And we're so excited for you to launch all your products in Indonesia.
Yes. So even Somi's brand, like G-Dragon shared it on his Instagram as well. And I'm sure we are monitoring Somi's fans. And she does have a large fan base in Indonesia as well. So I know people really want the products there. So we'll be ready to take it there this summer. So, we're really excited.
Thank you, Jordan. Thanks, everyone. Terima kasih teman-teman yang udah nonton. Sampai ketemu lagi dan terus nonton Ngobrol Sore Semaunya hanya di Sikso Media setiap hari Kamis. Bye-bye.